the Good Shepherd, Jesus, and one thing, if you see on my computer here, it says crew. So if you don't know me, I do attend church here with our family. I work with crew. It's a campus ministry, so mainly at Boise State with college students. But one thing we're focusing on this semester is really trying to just dig into the word even deeper. And so we're always talking about the importance and value of reading scripture, reading the Bible. But even more this semester, we just want to dig deeper. And so that's something also I've been trying to do in my own life. I've valued this. I've read the Bible for many years. I've read through it, but still just struggle. I don't know about you, but it is just hard for me to be really consistent, get really good quality time every day in the Word. It's just challenging, especially now that I have little kids. Even if I got up at a decent hour, they get up, and it gets so I have to get up even earlier, and I'm just a weak human being, and that's really hard for me. So it's been going pretty well so far. It's been cool, and I've been getting up, doing a Bible reading plan, and it has a reading out of the Old Testament and the New Testament each day, and then a little bit of a psalm and proverb. So yesterday, the psalm was Psalm 23, and I thought, oh, that's cool. That actually relates to John 10, because they both are talking about a shepherd and the sheep. So I thought, I want to just start by reading Psalm 23, and it's pretty popular. A lot of people have heard it, even if they've never been in church. It'll show up in movies, at funerals. But I want to read that with you, and then just kind of see if any of this resonates or how this hits you. Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and steadfast love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So I wonder as we read that, how much of that resonates with you, that you identify and say, yeah, that's true. David wrote this. He was a shepherd, but writing about God, he says stuff like, "I shall not want," or the NIV says, "I lack nothing." Would you say that's true of you? Like, yeah, I have everything I need. I'm very content. I lack nothing. Or he says, "He restores my soul." We all go through challenges, but do we all experience the restoration? Like, ah, yeah, I feel better now. My soul's restored. Or I will fear no evil. Do you live without fear? Or is there a theme of fear? Do you find fear creeping up quite often about a lot of things? He says, "You are with me." Do you sense that? Do you believe that, first of all, that God is with you? And then do you even have a sense, like, yeah, God, he's here. He's with me. God's with me. At the end, he says, "Goodness and mercy," and the Hebrew there for mercy, it's actually chesed, which that's why I put in steadfast love, rich meaning in that word. But steadfast love, goodness, shall follow me, or even the sense of, like, shall chase me down all the days of my life. Do you feel that way? Like, man, God's love is just so deep for me, his goodness toward me, and it's like he's just chasing me down. Every day I sense his love hunting me down. Do you experience that? That's what we want, right? So it's interesting because David says, yeah, that's true. Now, it's helpful to know David's other psalms too, right? They're not all like that. There are other psalms where he's like, "Where are you, God? Do you even hear me? Do you know what I'm going through? I might soak my bed with tears every night. I feel like you're not even there." That's the contrast, right? I bet we've felt that before. And yet here he says, no, this is the other end of the spectrum. So this is what I believe Jesus would call the abundant life. Like what David just described there, yeah, man, that's the abundant life. And he would say, I want you to experience that. It's not only possible, but that's what I want for you. I want you to be able to identify with this. So I want to look at that this morning, but I think we just need to pray that God would speak to us and help us to figure this out. So Lord, I do pray that you would speak to us through your word this morning. I think our experience more often than not is that we don't sense those things. We maybe live in fear, discomfort, just kind of the opposite of those things, feeling like we don't have what we need, feel like you're not here, don't have a sense of your love, but yet those things are not fully true. So I pray that you would just speak to us. Would you help us to focus on whatever you have to say to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, before we look at the actual passage, John 10, I want to just give a little bit of cultural context for shepherds and sheep. And a lot of where I learned this initially was from a guy named Ray Vanderlaan. And I know Laura has taken ladies in the church through a lot of his studies. Guy from Michigan, got his doctorate studying under Jewish rabbis. And part of his studies was just learning about the culture, and it just blew his mind. And I've learned a lot from him. My parents got to go on a trip with him. I'm so jealous. But he talked about a time where assignment was to go hang out with some Bedouin shepherds and just follow them around and just watch. And so he's from Michigan. He has an idea of what shepherding is like, right? So in the U.S., if you've ever seen shepherding, how are sheep typically moved from one place to another? What will a shepherd do? Herd them. Yeah, how? Dogs or motorcycles or, you know, something behind them driving them the right direction, right? So not that that's necessarily bad, but it's a fear-based motivation, right? Ah, get out of the way, got to go over there. And so you're trying not to get run over or eaten by the dog or whatever. So that's how we do it. So over there, here's what it looks like. Can you see that? What that is, those are sheep. And out in front, I don't know, is this, yeah, right there? That's the shepherd. And they're in a single file line, and it looks like they've done kind of a little switchback or something like that. So anyway, very interesting. And he saw this playing out, thought, what in the world? How are they doing that? And the shepherd would just walk out ahead, and often it was a girl. Often it was girls, but also boys. You see this in Scripture, boys and girls, shepherds. But they'll just walk out ahead and just talk. They're just talking or singing, and sometimes they're calling out their sheep by name. If they get off to the in the weeds, hey, come over here, Betty. I don't know. Hey, Frank, get over here. I don't know what Israel's sheep name are. I have no idea. But they call them by name, come back over here, and here's a closer up picture. And they'll just talk and walk ahead, and the sheep follow. If they're smart, they'll follow the shepherd. And then it's interesting, at the end of the day, he's like, well, what are they going to do at night? And so they would go to a sheepfold, and this is an example, one just made out of stone in a circle, and there's a doorway there, but no door. And so he said, it was so interesting, he'd get all the sheep in there, and then the shepherd would actually sit in the doorway and physically act as the door or the gate. So the shepherd was the gate, was the door. And what was really interesting, though, is another flock came along, and the shepherd put his sheep in there. And so Ray was thinking, "What? How in the world are they going to sort this out in the morning? They're not, like, over here, they're, you know, we'll tag animals or brand them or whatever." He's like, they don't have any of that. How are they going to get their sheep out? It's going to be a mess. So the next morning, he's just watching, and the shepherd he was following got up and walked out and just started calling her sheep by name. And they got up and they started walking out. Only the sheep that were following that shepherd, because they knew the voice of the shepherd. And so they would come out and he'd call them by name. If they were not paying attention, hey, come out here, and they would all come and then just start walking and talking. And there they go, away in single file line, off to the next meal, get some breakfast. And over there, it's pretty rocky. It's not the most wonderful, lush meadow that you picture. But it was like mouthful to mouthful, and they'd find some little tufts of grass, get their food, and then the shepherd would move them on, and they would just follow. And that's how they would go all day, find some water. So he was just blown away. Wow. That's the cultural background that Jesus, all of his listeners would know. Of course, that's how we do it. So he didn't have to explain that part, but he did have to explain his point when he shared some of this. So one other really quick tidbit, just so you know the biblical context of what's going on before Jesus tells this parable. He's been dealing with basically Israel's history of bad leaders. God had said to the leaders of Israel, you're to be the shepherd of the sheep. You're supposed to take care of them, provide for them. But if you, I would really encourage you, write down Ezekiel 34 and go read that after this. It'll come alive, I guarantee you, because God is drilling into these bad shepherds, just letting them have it, saying, you are not doing a good job, but I am going to take care of my sheep. I'm going to be their shepherd. In fact, I'm going to raise up someone who's going to be the good shepherd out of the family line of David, and he's going to take care of them. Because you guys are doing a rotten job, so I'm going to have to do it myself. I wish I had time to dig into that passage, but they would all know what he's talking about. And John 8, he's laying into the Pharisees. Not all of them were bad, but a lot of them were. They were not doing a good job. Still the same story. The leaders of Israel not doing their job to care for the people. And Jesus is letting them have it and saying, you don't even know God. That'd be like someone saying to a pastor, you don't even know God, right? Sadly, I mean, that's true of some. Very sad truth. Continues to this day. But Jesus says, I know God. And then chapter 9, he heals a blind man, and then they want to kill him, right? They're after him because he healed a blind man. And he says, you guys are blind. You have no idea what you're doing. You're totally missing it. And then he tells them John 10. That's the setup to John 10, and I think they got what he was saying. Some of the people didn't, which is amazing, but some did. So here's what he says, John 10. I'm going to read a bit here. Try to picture this. If it helps you to close your eyes, maybe close your eyes, but he's telling a visual here, so try to just imagine this. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he's brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. They're like, okay, we know what how this works, but what's your point? So he continues and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So hopefully some of that resonated, even with what we just talked about. It, he's making some clear connections there. Now, why would a sheep not experience the abundant life? What would keep them from experiencing the abundant life? What's that? They're not following the shepherd. Yeah, I mean, that's it. Somehow they're off somewhere else, which not only will they probably end up hungry, thirsty, but what else could happen? Could get eaten. Yeah, a wolf could come and snatch them, right? Perfect. Or a thief, or, you know, they could get misled by some other strange shepherd. That, all sorts of stuff. Bad news. They will not experience the abundant life. So that why in the world would a sheep do that? Either they don't know the voice of the shepherd. Honest mistake, I just didn't even know. I didn't hear you. I was just, you know, like they just don't know the voice of the shepherd. Or for some reason they don't trust the shepherd. Like, no, I'm not gonna do that. Like, maybe I think I can find my own food over here. You silly shepherd, I got a better way. I mean, that's, some sheep would do that maybe. Or they get distracted or whatever. Or they have fear. Maybe it could be a whole host of reasons, but they, if they don't follow, even though they hear his voice, they're going to get in some trouble. They're going to miss out on the abundant life. So, connecting it to us, one question I want to look at is, do we recognize his voice so that we can follow him? He wants us to experience the abundant life. He's a good shepherd. So what would keep us from that? Well, first of all, if we don't know his voice. It's hard to follow him if you don't know his voice, right? The other thing would be, well, maybe we do know his voice, but will we follow him? Will we trust him? So I want to look at both of those. And the first is just, do we recognize the shepherd's voice so that we can follow him? I want to do a really fast experiment, okay? But you have to trust me. Talking about trust today. Close your eyes. Actually, no, never mind. I was thinking something else. Here's what I want you to do. Look around the room and find someone that you don't know very well, okay? Just, and look at them. I know everyone's looking around. It's okay. You're looking at everyone, looking all over. And once you have their face in your mind, you don't know them very well, here's what I want you to do. Ready? Really quiet. Imagine the sound of their voice talking to you. Okay, what'd you hear? Nothing. Huh. Not surprising, right? You don't know them very well. You have no idea what their voice sounds like. Now think of someone who you are very close to, who you really like, could be family member, friend. Now imagine their voice in your mind. Okay, now what'd you hear? I'd be curious what words they were saying, but you could kind of hear their voice, right? You can hear them. Now why is that? Well, because you know them. Of course you know their voice. You've spent time with them. You hear them all the time, and so you know their voice. If you shut your eyes and they were talking right now, you would know who they are. On the other hand, if it was someone you didn't know and they talked, you'd have no idea. You couldn't pick them out of a crowd. So how do you get to know the voice of Jesus? Any ideas? Read his word. Yeah, I mean, that's the number one thing, right? I think sometimes we make it trickier than it is. How do I know what God is saying? It's like right here. He's given us his word. And we even call it the word. What is he saying? It's right here. But how can we know that if we never spend time in it, right? It'd be like someone standing up, that person you don't know, and they said one sentence, and then you go home and next, you know, 3 days later, try to recall what the voice sounded like. It's not gonna be in there. It's kind of like just really inconsistent time listening to God's voice. it's hard to get it to stick and to even affect your life. So I would really encourage you, as I'm encouraging myself, just to spend quality time learning the voice of the shepherd. And I guarantee you, wherever you're at on the spectrum, some have not read anything, some have read it every day, almost your life. But every single one of us could get to know his voice even better. It's certainly not going to hurt, right? There's so many things I want to say about this. I would just say this, not only will we benefit from that because he leads us to food and water and life, right? But we avoid the negative too. He keeps us safe. And man, there is so much deception out there. You think of the voice of strangers. How will you be able to discern between the voice of strangers and who is God? I wish I had time to give examples, just powerful examples, even sadly in churches where there is stuff being taught that is the voice of strangers. It is not the voice of God. And people are being deceived. And I know someone who grew up living in that. She infiltrated churches, working for the dark side, literally. And that's where she met Jesus, trying to split a church. And met Jesus, and I'm talking with her about this today, and she's like, oh, if people just knew the Bible, if they just knew it, they wouldn't buy this junk. She's like, I was doing it. It was so easy to deceive people because they don't know their Bibles. So easy. And it just was killing me because I'm like, yeah, I know. I could see that happening to me. I see it happening all the time. Just really, really good time with the Lord, but it's also protective of us and those we love. So I want to move on. If you want help on, well, I don't even know where to start. What do I even read? Or I have questions about if the Bible's even trustworthy. I would love to talk with you about that. That stuff, that they're great, great resources. You could talk with me, the elders, a small group leader, great help there. But moving on to that second question, well, what if I have read it? Yeah, I've been around. I know what God would say to me. I know right from wrong. I know what he would say in my situation. Well, then the question is, will I trust him? Will I follow him? And I think if you're, some of you, maybe it's just easy. Like, you never doubt. It's just always easy. Most of the time, it's not that way. But the question is, why? Let me ask you this, and you can respond to me. What makes a person trustworthy to you? When they do what they say. Yeah, so they've got a track record of they say something, and then they actually follow through, right? Anything else? There you go, yeah. So he keeps his promises, yeah. You're connecting the dots. Probably a person's character, right? Just you see them living their life. Are they consistent? Are they a trustworthy person? It's interesting then when we look at God. It's like, okay, why is it that we don't trust him? Do we not believe what he says? Is it something? I would say there are good reasons to explore of why I don't trust him. But I'll also say the problem is never with his character, that there's something wrong with him, and it's never with his track record that he hasn't kept his promises. He is fully trustworthy. So it's really, what is going on inside of me, in my experience? What has gotten me to this place where I doubt him and I doubt his goodness and his love for me and that he's with me? What's going on there? Jesus mentioned the hired hand, right? What does the hired hand do when the wolf comes? Bails. You sucker. Hired hand, lousy, good for nothing. Well, it's because he doesn't care for the sheep, right, is what Jesus said. He doesn't care. He was there to make a buck, and then he's like, wolf is coming. I'm out of here. I want to save my own hide. Are the sheep going to trust the hired hand again? No way. You left us to hang out to dry, you know. Nope. And that Man, that's the world we live in, sadly. A lot of broken trust. Jesus acknowledges that. He just points it out. Yeah, even the religious leaders, that happens a lot, sadly. Well, here's a question. He talks about the thief and the wolf and the strangers, right? What do you think those represent? Because he doesn't really define it. Just take some guesses. What do you think those things represent? What's that? The world. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a broken world. And if you follow the world, it's going to lead you away from the voice of the shepherd. Absolutely. And lots of things in the world. Anything else? Sure. I mean, it could be a broken system, right? Governmental, political leaders. Sure. That could be part of, that's part of the world. Satan. Certainly, I think he probably had him in mind. There's a whole invisible realm that's seeking to steal, kill, and destroy. And ultimately, just our own sin, right? I mean, it's our flesh that leads us to sin, and that breaks relationship with God. Jesus made it pretty clear, and the Bible does, that there's a penalty for sin, and it's death. It separates us from him. It breaks relationship with him. So a sheep on its own, does it have a shot against a wolf or thief or the elements? No, not a shot. Not going to last long, right? It's certain death. And I would say it's the same with us on our own. Apart from Jesus, we're goners. Because of our own sin. And we live in a broken, messed up world that does not help us one bit. And a personal enemy that hates our guts and wants everything except for us to experience the abundant life with a good shepherd. And he does a good job of keeping us from it. So it's not good enough for us then to say, well, if I'm just good enough, then I'll have the abundant life. No, we'll never undo our sin. Well, if I just try harder. That's right, I got to try harder, I got to read my Bible more. Well, I did just say we should read our Bible, right? But that's not going to, just trying harder to get the abundant life, that's not going to do it. So how do we do this then? Before I get to the Jesus answer to that, you know how a wolf will attack sheep? They work in a pack, right? If they were to come after a flock, they would just chase at them, try to get them running, and try to get them scattered, and then what will they do? They'll pick them off. They'll get them off on their own, and then that sheep's a goner, right? That they're very effective at that, and sheep just freak out and don't know what to do. They'll just run away. So what does the shepherd do? In Jesus' story, he doesn't fully play it out. So this is taking a little artistic license in my own mind, but roll with me for a second. Imagine this is going on. Jesus describes the wolf coming. The hired hand leaves, but what does the good shepherd do? He sees the wolves hunting down his sheep, chasing after him. The shepherd takes off sprinting after him, and just as this wolf is about to get this sheep, the shepherd dives, tackles the wolf to the ground, and then the other wolves come and attack the shepherd. And the sheep runs away. His life is saved. He's been rescued, but the shepherd is viciously put to death. Now, why in the world would a shepherd do that? Why would he sacrifice himself? Amen. That's it. He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. That's Jesus on the cross. That's absolutely what he's getting at. He's predicting he's going to do this. He loves his sheep. God chose his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Like a sheep saying, I don't need you, shepherd. While we were still sinners, in our sin, in our rebellion, he still laid down his life. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. So the question for us then is, okay, he demonstrated his love for us. He's kept his promises to us. The question is, will we trust him? Will we follow his voice wherever he leads us? If that's not amazing enough, 3 days later, we know the rest of the story, right? He raises from the dead. Good Shepherd comes back to life. And in my mind, as I'm playing this out, you know, thinking about this, I picture this shepherd getting up, blood still on his robes. He grabs his staff, and he goes, I'm going to hunt those stinking wolves down. And he takes off running, and he goes toward the direction he thinks they went, and he's coming through this dark valley, and he sees these wolves still chasing the sheep about to get them, and they're fearing for their life. And he takes that rod, his shepherd's staff, and he just starts beating on these wolves and beats the life out of them. And the sheep are running. They look back over their shoulder and they see that he's killed. He's alive, first of all. What? And he's killed these wolves, and they kind of stop. And he calls after them. And he says, hey, come back. Come back. It's all right. Follow me. Come over here. I bet you guys are hungry. It's been a few days. I bet you're thirsty. I bet you're really tired. Come over here. I want to take care of you. And he doesn't force them. He just asks them, come follow me. Come follow me. Trust me. I love you. I want to take care of you. I just want you to follow me. And if we do that, if we follow his voice, we'll be saved. Even after that, we can still wander, though, right? Even after we've seen him demonstrate his love, we said, yes, I want to follow that shepherd. We put our faith in him. Our sin is paid for, forgiven. We have a relationship with him that'll last forever. We can still doubt him. We can still choose not to listen to his voice. And it robs us. It robs us of the abundant life. It robs us of what he wants to give us. So we just need to remind each other of who he is, of the love he's demonstrated. He proved it. He's worthy of our trust. It's up to us how closely we'll follow him. And for me, myself, if he loves me that much, I'll follow him anywhere. I'll do whatever he tells me because he's proven he's worth it. He's faithful. On my own, I'm a goner. I'm going to get in trouble. I can trust him. So to close, I want to actually read that psalm again. And I wonder if it might come across a little differently. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and steadfast love shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Man, thanks for your love for us. You are such a good shepherd. So many bad shepherds. Thanks for being so radically different. Would you help us to learn your voice? Lord, there are so many distractions, so many things, busyness of this life to keep us from just spending time with you, spending time in your word. Would you help us to set aside the excuses and just sit at your feet, let you care for us and speak to us? I pray that you would help us to trust you. When we doubt you, would you help us just picture you, the good shepherd on the cross, demonstrating your love for us? so that we could follow you wherever you lead us. And would you help us just even this week to help others to know you as well and your love for them, Lord. Thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.